560 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Security being ramped up at the federal courthouse in Miami now that former President Trump's been named in a sweeping federal grand jury indictment. ABC's Aaron Katursky is there.
Former President Trump is due here at this courthouse on the 13th floor Tuesday afternoon. We expect he will enter a plea of not guilty to those 37 counts. He's going to be arrested, booked, and processed for the second time in 2 months after his indictment in New York. The planning for Trump's appearance here in Miami began early this morning, and all day we've seen contingents of officers come around to inspect. Trump's movements on Tuesday are going to be highly choreographed, and with no cameras in federal court, it's unlikely the public is going to see him at all.
Special Counsel Jack Smith says Mr. Trump will be treated just like any other American who stands trial. House Republicans unveiled new tax legislation. It would allow those who earn less than $400,000 a year to claim a larger standard deduction and extend Trump-era tax breaks. This is ABC News. Many people in the Northeast have gone back to using face masks.
Face masks were back for many people this week, but that's because of the smoke from wildfires, not COVID-19. However, the CDC does advise wildfire smoke increases the risk of contracting the virus, but overall, COVID numbers reached a new low. Just 7,212 people were admitted to hospitals in the U.S. last week. That's a decrease of 6% from the week prior, and it marks the lowest hospitalization level since early in the pandemic.
ABC's Brian Clark, Olympic gold diver Greg Louganis is auctioning off his Olympic gold and silver diving medals to help the Damien Center, which provides health resources and services to people living with HIV/AIDS and for their families as well.
Each medal has a story, you know, and I want to share that and impart that story to whomever gets the medals so that it has life beyond me.
An update on Wall Street. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
At Lakeland Care, we build better lives. Located right here in northeastern Wisconsin, our staff lives and works in the areas we serve. Offering public and private care management options, we have a strong track record of success in helping members of our community live their happiest, healthiest, and most independent lives. Beyond care management, we now offer consulting, coaching, and training for individuals and organizations. Where you need us, when you need us, we're on your team. Visit LakelandCareINC.com to learn more.
The enticing smell of fresh baked goods, breads, rolls, pies, cookies, and more. This isn't just a bakery. It's Just Dane's Just Bakery, a training program for people dealing with employment barriers. Learn more and order now for your next get-together at JustDane.org. JustDane.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trygve Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group
Group Wisconsin Breaking News Today. It's the perfect companion to your local civic media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
We think it has to do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel!
It's younger!
Calm down!
What are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once-in-a-lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, hit me, cut it, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's a Friday, and we got State Senator Mary Kunish on, and a lot going on. We were just talking before the show how much is going on here in the Twin Cities via Indian Country, and can't wait for your update, because State Senator, I wasn't able to see you this weekend because we were like at different conventions and different things, but I'm looking forward to your update. Welcome, as always, State Senator Mary Kunish.
Aho, matakiape, everybody. It's so good to be here with you after a good week of strong Indian influence here in Minnesota.
Exactly. Well, we won't. Well, maybe why don't we jump into this? Your sister was in town, too, being one of the main speakers out in where I was in Shakopee. Maybe just remind our audience what great job your sister has right now and how she works for Indian Country and the United States, for that matter.
Sure. So I have a sister. Actually, I have five sisters. This sister is my sister, Patrice Kunish, and she was just recently confirmed to an appointment out in the Biden administration. She is, and I always forget her title, but she is serving as the commissioner of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Service Administration for Native Americans, and they call it ANA. And so she was just recently appointed and confirmed. Last year, she had to go through the confirmation process, and it was long and arduous. But she's, she's a good fit for that position. She is an Indian law lawyer. She has worked for a number of the different tribes. She's worked for NARF, Native American Rights Fund, a number of times, and taught Indian law, started the American Indian, something at the Federal Reserve Bank. I forget what that is. So she's been all over the place doing really good work, and actually served at the Department of the Interior when Obama was in office, and I got to go out to the second inauguration with her and go through that whole rigmarole and gala. It was beautiful. So yeah, she is out there again, serving in that capacity, and was came back here this week to speak at the conference, the National What was it called? Do you remember what it's actually called?
I'm wearing a t-shirt right now. I got to look.
It's the National Congress of American Indians, and they had a mid-year convention. Mm-hmm. And it was held down in Shakopee. They were the host down there, and it was just absolutely fabulous. I went down there only for half a day because I had to speak at the Not Invisible Act committee that was here. But it was so funny because I got to the hotel in downtown Minneapolis to speak at the Not Invisible. I was on a panel there, and I walked in, and like almost immediately these two men said, "Oh, hi, Patrice." I said, "I'm not Patrice."
Wow.
"I'm not Patrice." They had worked with her in the Obama administration. So, I mean, we are a year and a week apart in age. We don't think we look like each other, but everybody. And then we were at the convention and people kept like, they'd look at me, they'd look at her. It's like, who's who, you know, which is which. So she gave a really good speech out there. I don't know if you were able to hear it, Robert, but I was late getting there, but I did hang out with her for a while down at the convention.
Yeah, it was a great speech. And I saw her the opening night too. And, it was great to see her. I hadn't seen her since I was in Washington for ICWA, which is coming up, by the way, I think the end of this month.
We should talk about that too. Yep.
Yeah. But that was the last time. And then she was gracious enough to be on the show with me when I was in Washington. It was great giving her a hug. And, you know, I just got to say this. I hope this isn't sexist, but it's like she seems like she looks younger every time I see her. Is that a Kunish thing?
You will love to hear that, Robert.
Well, I was like, wow. Yeah, it's crazy. But maybe it's just that I'm getting older. I don't know. But yeah, I was like, wow. Yeah.
I think she was just so excited to get out there and do this work.
Yeah.
That, you know, she's just, you know, in a good place. And that kind of shows when you're happy and you're feeling productive. I think it really shows.
Yeah, I really wanted to get out to the Not Invisible Act gathering. And I know our friend Ruth Buffalo was there, too. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, just like we were saying, there's so much good stuff going on here in the Twin Cities and all over Turtle Island.
Yep. So this week they had some hearings and committee hearings that were centering around law enforcement and jurisdiction. And as the author of the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force here in Minnesota, they invited me to speak there. And it was pretty incredible. We heard some really, really hard stories from folks here in Minnesota, but also from elsewhere. And there are a lot of good questions that were asked. And for those of you who don't know what the Not Invisible Act is, there's a commission, and Secretary Holland kind of organized it. Mm-hmm. And so this Not Invisible Act was signed into action in 2019, and it's the first bill in our national history to be introduced and passed by four U.S. Congress members that were enrolled in their tribe. So this was a bill by four Native representatives out in the Washington, D.C. So they're looking at the cross-jurisdictional issues that are happening around law enforcement. They're working with tribal leaders, our federal leaders, service providers. So this morning I met up with them again at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center that Marissa Cummings is the ED at. And they had a lot of really good questions about the work that she does for the community. And then, of course, the families and the community members. So this commission has to do, their task is to focus provide some recommendations. And there are six different subcommittees focusing on improving intergovernmental coordination, and establishing best practices for the state, looking at the tribal and federal law enforcement to bolster any resources for survivors and victims' family. They're looking at how to combat they call it an epidemic of missing persons. I call it a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Epidemic is sort of local, if something went through the Twin Cities, that's an epidemic. Pandemic is global. And right. We know colonization is global, and mm-hmm. this is a global issue. So it's not just, local. And they're also looking at the trafficking of our American Indian people. And they've just got a lot of work. One of the most important things I think we need to do is track and report data and share that data, because we still don't have like a central data place. We also need to figure out how we can coordinate our tribe and our state and our federal government, not only in the data sharing, but addressing the violence. And so this subcommittee was here in Minneapolis. And as we said, Ruth Ann Buffalo, former state rep from North Dakota, was there. It was so good to see her.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sad I missed it. Hey, let's finish up talking about this and talk about some more here. We're with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Gotcha, Haley. Ho!
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
On Saturday, June 17th, Metro Transit is making changes to transit service within your community. As they do each quarter, they review and analyze their resources and ridership trends. These service adjustments to routes continue Metro Transit's ongoing work to best serve customers throughout their system with their given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. That's metrotransit.org.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Yes, it was just there Thursday with the Four Sisters, and there were people from all over the country that were there checking it out because they were in town for all these meetings that are happening here in the Twin Cities. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and We're always blessed to have a great report from you and what's going on in Indian country, but specifically what's going on as you are a state senator and all the things that you do for our community and do for our nation, meaning our tribal nation. So welcome back, state senator.
Oh, thank you again for giving me this time and this space to talk about all the good things that we're doing in Minnesota. Did you know that former President Obama tweeted about the incredible, incredible work that Minnesota is doing? And I don't have his tweet in front of me, but it was basically, you know, United States, be like Minnesota. We did so much incredible work this last session. It's funny because I asked my assistant to go through and find all the legislation that has positive effects for Indian country in Minnesota. And it took him over a week to do it. Wow. And I sent it and I was looking at it on my phone and I just kept scrolling and scrolling and scrolling through my phone like, oh my God. I mean, we'll have to do one just about that because there's so much good work. And when we were out at the conference, people kept coming up to me and saying, how did you do that? Wow. All that money, all the, you know, education, public safety, land back. I mean, we did it all. It was pretty incredible.
You know, this week at Shakopee, Lieutenant Governor spoke, and she was one of the keynote speakers in the beginning. And Thursday, the governor spoke, and I was getting texts from people going, you are so blessed to have this governor as your governor because, you know, with Peggy and our legislators, all these things that he's gotten done and the things that he says now, he gets it, especially with, you know, having a lieutenant governor and working with the legislators as he does. He got a standing ovation. And, you know, Indians don't like to do that. Ho-wah.
I know, for a white man.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, you have to have good leadership. Of course, you have to have good leadership. You have to have good partnership. And, you know, the reason that we were able to do so much here in Minnesota is because during COVID, we received all those federal dollars. And so we received quite a bit of it that Republicans wouldn't agree to spend on. So it just sort of sat there for a while. Mm-hmm. And then we had a surplus. And they didn't want to spend that either. In fact, I think they thought that they were going to take the hat trick here at Minnesota and take full control of the governor's seat, the House and the Senate. Well, it turned out to be just the opposite. The Dems are in control. So there was that, you know, there was that surplus and some of the money left from the federal government and, you know, just the regular thing. And so we had a lot of money to spend. And it was kind of hard. Our Republican counterparts, again, really dragged their feet and really wouldn't agree to anything unless we did what they wanted them to. What they wanted to do. And we did our best to accommodate them. But, mm-hmm. you know, I alone in just a second here, I got this little sweetie here. Here's Sweetie Reedy. I'm the chair of the Education Finance Committee. I had $5.3 billion to put towards education. $1 billion. That's the most money we have ever invested in education. And that's starting with, you know, from age zero all the way through community ed and adult ed, kids with disability, EL. I mean, it's just the list went on and on and on. And we figured out a way to make everybody happy. And of course, as a past library media specialist, I was very intent on making sure that our libraries, both our school libraries and our public libraries and our multi-use libraries, got funding. And this was the largest, the most increase in, you know, resources for libraries in the state of Minnesota in the history of Minnesota. And so all these librarians are contacting me or wherever I go, it's like, I'm a librarian. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, I mean, it's just, I'm still kind of giddy and overwhelmed with the good work that we did.
You know, I had somebody come up to me knowing that you're on our show and we've talked before, and she works for the public schools, is that she's going to get unemployment now. She works in the kitchen. That's a game changer, an emotional thing for somebody that works for our kids.
Yeah,
does this thing, and what a game changer. And this was kind of marked, I think the governor called this the Minnesota Miracle Part 2.
Yeah. And, you know, across the nation, hourly workers in schools, so bus drivers that are contracted or that are district that have their own bus service, not contracted by another company. So the school bus drivers, the food people, the custodians, our paras and educational assistants, they were never eligible for unemployment, which I thought was appalling. And that was one of the things I promised when I ran for office. I promised my EAs and those folks, I'm going to get you unemployment. And we did. And we're the first in the nation. I mean, Minnesota does all these firsts, but we're the first in the nation to ensure that that our hourly workers, our school hourly workers, have access to unemployment.
Huge. And, you know, I know the story as being a young person. I had a friend that worked on the river, which is a really hard job, but it was seasonal. And they got the whole winter off and was unemployment and really made a lot of money doing that in that way. So why can't our, you know, well, thank you so much. I want to thank you, too, because it just didn't make any sense that we weren't supporting our boots on the ground.
Yep. I put aside $135 million to start this project. That was out of our education budget. Nice. So we took that out, made it a whole separate line item. And now the schools can draw from that because we really don't know how much it's going to cost. But having it in that separate budget line, we can be able to monitor and see which schools are using it, which are not. Are we funding it the right way? So this is really a good test, a litmus test for other states, because I have a feeling, like everything else, people are looking to Minnesota to replicate a lot of the good work we're doing.
Yeah. And it reminds me of the old days of the DFL party, right? The Wendell Anderson, Hubert Humphrey era happening again. And it's really exciting that we're taking care of our people, our constituents, and the people that need it the most.
Oh, yeah. And our kids and our teachers, oh, my goodness, they need anything and everything that they can get right now. I mean, even just to show them. I mean, if nothing else, it was a sign that we see you, we hear you, we appreciate you. We can't give you the rule of 90 or, you know, the kind of pension that we'd love to give you, but we can start with this. And it's a start. That's what it is, a start.
It is. And again, Mary, I just got to say, I was in a restaurant and it was a Saturday, and this person works in the kitchen at this restaurant, but also for St. Paul Public Schools. And that was the first thing she said to me. It was like, heck yeah.
Yep, we did it.
yeah, definitely. So let's talk about what the future brings here. Now, you're elected, so are you? You're 4 years now, right?
Yes, our Senate in the Minnesota, our Senate is 4 year term. Then I have to get reelected for another 4 year term. Then by that time, it'll be it'll be around the time that we have the census. So every 10 years, so it's a 4-year, 4-year, 2-year term. And so I don't have to get elected now for another 3 summers.
That's awesome. And I think when you were a representative, it was almost like you had to be running all the time, which is kind of obnoxious, really, right?
Yeah, that when you're in the House of Representatives, you have to go through elections every 2 years. And so, yes, I just always felt like I was running to catch up.
Is there any way that that can change? Because that just, I mean, it goes state by state. Is that a state constitutional change?
Yeah, that's the way they set it up here in Minnesota. I mean, there are some, every state is different. Like some states, they don't meet every single year.
Right.
They meet once out of every other year. Which is, I don't know how they get anything done. But I don't know that we would change it. I think folks kind of like, other than making it maybe a full-time position, but those terms I think are kind of set.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I know
this summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. We've heard for the first time from the special prosecutor leading an investigation which led to a federal indictment of former President Trump.
Special counsel Jack Smith made it clear he and the attorney general were not the authorities charging former President Trump.
This indictment was voted by a grand jury of citizens in the Southern District of Florida. And I invite everyone to read it in full to understand the scope and the gravity of the crimes charged.
Jack Smith is the top prosecutor in this 38-count indictment that details the crimes he's being charged with. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Mr. Trump is due to appear in Miami federal court on Tuesday. The president and the first lady visited newly renamed Fort Liberty, North Carolina, where he signed an executive order to expand employment and economic opportunities for military families. There wasn't much movement in the markets on Friday, but there was enough to hit a couple milestones. The S&P now in a bear market. This is ABC News.
When snack time rolls around, don't settle for the same old, spice it up with Emmanuel's Mix. Imagine this, corn rice cereal, pretzels, and mammoth pecans, plus a unique coating that perfectly melts sweet and salty. Emmanuel's Mix Spicy Blend even won first place in the Grand Champion Eats and Treats competition at the Wisconsin State Fair. Now that's tasty! A proud member of Something Special from Wisconsin and served on the sweet level of Fiserv Forum. Emmanuel's Mix. Log on to emmanuelsmix.com. That's emmanuelsmix.com. And get snacking!
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
would
that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we've been talking a lot about some really positive and cool things. I think we need to talk a little reality right now, too. Like I said earlier, the last time I saw your sister was in Washington during the hearings of ICWA, and I know her being a lawyer and a tribal lawyer, she was right inside the Supreme Court listening to this, and this is coming up again, and it's kind of a frightening thing for us Native Americans that it's even on the table for the Supreme Court because of what's happened in their last few decisions that have not gone in a good way.
Yeah. Yes. There is that grave concern across Indian country that the Indian Child Welfare Act will be basically, you know, shut down, and those protections that our tribes have had to ensure that the children are not adopted outside of their tribes could go away. And that would, again, begin the annihilation, the genocide of our kids.
Right.
And we were talking about, well, there was a sort of a letter to the editor this week, and it came from a lawyer here in Minnesota who actually worked, was one of the original lawyers at the ICWA Law Center here in Minnesota. It's a law center that helps families and protects and ensures that ICWA is being upheld across the state. And Shannon Smith is an incredible, you know, director there. And mm-hmm. I've heard her speak to this, but the author of that bill basically was saying that non-Native kids in Minnesota have greater protections in the state welfare proceedings than the Native children. And that is that's coming from him because we passed legislation that bolstered the Minnesota Indian Family Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act here in Minnesota. Yeah. And it basically is like a mini Minnesota ICWA bill because we were very concerned that this federal ICWA will go away and then the children won't have, and the counties will have more authority over what happens to our Native kids, and the tribes wouldn't. Right. And so that was pretty awful. And it was interesting because I was just, you know, reading my newspaper, you know, like I do in the morning, turn the page, and there's a picture of me and mm-hmm. this article. And in it, he just really twists what the legislation actually did. And of course, because he wasn't involved in it, he doesn't know what's going on. And there are parts of the MIFPA bill that we didn't have 100% agreement with the county and the attorneys. But we said, let's get this much done. Mm-hmm. As much as we can, and as much as we can agree to, let's put this in place. Should ICWA go away, then at least we have these protections, and we will continue. And so there is a working group. It's made up of tribal lawyers, the county folks, the state folks, people who are experts in the field. We're continuing to look at the MIFPA bill and looking at the language and the definitions to make sure that those protections are in place. And again, many people are watching Minnesota waiting mm-hmm. for us to finish up this work, or at least take what we've done so far and share, you know, create that legislation in their own state so that they too have those protections. So I worked on a response to that for the last couple of days, and Jody, and I can't, Holia, I can't pronounce her last name, lawyers, Rebecca McConkie Green. We've been in touch for the last couple of days working on a response to it. And I think the tribes will have a response as well. So, yeah.
It's disheartening, too, that somebody that has worked with ICWA and knows the pitfalls and why ICWA came in the first place to protect not only our children, but our sovereignty is now under attack. But again, Minnesota is the guiding light here and on so many good things. We want more people to move here.
Well, you know, we also, Minnesota passed some really strong trans rights, especially for kids. And of course, our reproductive freedom bill. And so while our Republican counterparts will say, oh, everybody's leaving the state because of our taxes and because of this and because of that, you know, I say, all of my, go ahead and head out. But, you know, probably for everyone, we've got two or three families coming to Minnesota so that they and their children have a safe place to live.
Right. And some of these states like Florida, you can parent can go to jail.
Yep.
You know, it's insanity happening. And again, Minnesota has always had a high, you know, standard of living here. And I think with the bills and the actions, it just really reinforces that.
Yeah, I mean, it's who wants to raise taxes? Who wants to charge taxes on things? None of us want to do that because we end up, you know, also having to pay those taxes. But unfortunately, if you want nice things, you have to pay for them. You've seen what one winter does to the Minnesota roads. How are we going to keep up on that? And our lakes, our streams, our environment, you know, they just, the federal government overturned the permit to do that mining, that nickel mining up by the Boundary Waters. So if we want to keep nice things, we have to pay for it.
Exactly. And that is exactly it. But I guess we can just see in the last session that our Republican relatives are really basically for nothing. They're against a lot of things, but what are their solutions? And so it just, I think people are seeing that. And again, we always applaud people like Haley, that's the Gen Z coming in there and knowing that these things are showing that you're not going to maybe have a house like everybody did. You're not going to live as long as we are because of what generations and not only generations, but just greed have done to the environment and things like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think Gen Z, I think we definitely grew up seeing kind of the mess that, you know, that was done to the environment and not only to the environment, but our people and our minorities. And yeah, from a Gen Z, I can sit here and say we're ready for some positive change here. And I think we're willing to do.
And get out there. I mean, you know, state senator's frozen, so hopefully she'll come back. But, you know, gun control. I mean, these insane things that 70 and 80% of the people are for, and yet we have a voting block of NRA and people that basically do not, are not really thinking the way we do in the whole community. So again, welcome back, State Senator. I think one of the things we were just talking about is how you guys have been listening to the people and not the special interest, I think is what I've been trying to say here. And that makes a big deal. And again, you know, people are watching what's happening. And again, we were talking, Haley and I, a little bit about how the Gen Zs are plugged in because of what kind of mess the boomers and the greedy people are leaving them.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to my Republican counterparts and I encourage them to bring me really good bills in the education committee. And I would hear their bills when I was, you know, when I have been in the minority with the Republicans in the majority, they would never hear our bills. And I, you know, I heard as many good bills as came to me, you know, and we even included a few of the Republicans' bills in there. But the kind of the things that they want to do is not good for our people. You know, that's like you said, a lot of the special interests. I mean, Democrats have special interests, but most of the time it's because they're going to do good things, especially our nonprofit, our nonprofit folks who do so much of the work outside of our state government and that sort of thing.
The cookies are all gone.
Oh, no cookies for grandbaby.
No cookies for Rita.
Rita, you look like you combed your hair with a firecracker.
Oh my gosh, this girl. Come here. You want to say hello to everybody?
Yeah.
Oh. She's got some pretty wild hair here. But you know, it's just, I don't know. It used to be that Republicans and Democrats could work together and find consensus and really meet the needs of their communities. My dad was a strong Republican. He actually started the Republican caucus up in the little town that that I grew up in the, up in the St. Cloud area. Mm-hmm. And but it was a different kind of Republican that were really sensitive to the needs of everybody in Minnesota. I know Republicans don't want to spend and, you know, they are very fiscally conservative and which is a wonderful thing to be. I mean, I myself consider myself fiscally conservative. Mm. But again, if we want good services, if we want good things, we have to make sure that we're paying for them and we're maintaining them. I mean, look what's happened to our schools because we haven't been doing the best. So we got to do it for the next generation and up to the next seven generations. And
yes,
we're starting it here.
Right on. Hey, thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish, for all your work and the work you will be doing. And of course, stopping in and giving a great update to our listeners. Really appreciate you.
You bet. Wopila tanka, everybody. And I got to see the bison return yesterday down in Hastings. So we're bringing back the bison.
Right on. Oh, Rita. Hey.
Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, she waved. Hey, we'll be right back with Wendy with Fun Facts Friday. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org.
Did you know there are easy ways to support your child's brain development during their critical early years from age 0 to 3? Little Moments Count is a website which provides tools to help parents engage in simple everyday activities like talking, playing, reading, and singing with their children. Visit littlemomentscount.org for resources and support in giving your child a strong foundation for a lifetime of learning. That's littlemomentscount.org. littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Wajile, wajile.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of this show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
As you could hear, there's three howls there, and we got Wendy with our Fun Facts Friday. Wendy, welcome to Native Roots Radio. I know you're out in New York, and it's not smelling so good out there.
Well, I just looked, and I'm going to tell you this right now. I am in Long Beach, New York. We have an air quality alert of 157, which means it's still unhealthy. However, it's better than yesterday at about the same time. So we are improving, but it's still unhealthy. So all outdoor activities at schools have been suspended. School teachers, my sister and my nephew are both home teaching remotely today. And there's no Yankee game. So there you go.
Wow. And well, I appreciate you stopping in. I know there's a lot going on and you got to, it's kind of weird. You got to stay in the house and all that really bad in New York.
We recommend you not leaving the house.
It's crazy. But hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's been on the show for over 7 years talking about our sacred animals and how we can protect them. And Friday's our fun day, right, Wen?
That's right. Hey, everybody. My name is Hani Jiti Hani, which means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dago Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that. And I always look forward to Friday so that we could talk about Fun Fact Friday. And I have this list here. It's called the Fact Site hashtag, and it's science, nature, and animals, and it's 300 random animal facts, and it's written by Luke Ward. And we've been kind of chipping away at this list for quite a while. But what happened was I started from number 300 and I'm working my way up to number one. So I'm not sure exactly where we left off last time. So these may be a repeat, but they're still fun to hear, even if it's for a second time. That's so right. 185, there are roughly 24,000 species of butterflies. That's a lot of butterflies.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yellowtail is the general name for loads of different species of fish that have yellow tails or yellow bodies. I can hear our cat Lucy in the background. She always wants to be on the radio when it's Fun Facts Friday. So hello, Lucy.
She approves.
Butterflies can see the colors, only see the colors, red, green, and yellow. So that would be good. So this way they know when they come up to a traffic light, they know when to go, when they can stop, and when they need to slow down, right? Red, green, and yellow. This is a kind of a gross fact. Hippos attract mates by urinating and defecating.
Okay.
That's pretty sexy. Okay. Polar bears are the world's largest land predators. I wouldn't have thought that. I thought maybe like a hippopotamus would have been. But according to this fact site here, polar bears are the world's largest land predators. Yeah.
Wow.
Arachnophobia is the fear of what? Do you guys know?
Spiders?
That's right. Arachnophobia is the fear of spiders. Wasn't there a movie called Arachnophobia?
I do believe, but that's not on my list, my Netflix list.
I know, right? Here's another fun fact about butterflies. They have their skeletons on the outside of their bodies. This is known as exoskeletons. Dogs are about as smart as a 2 or 3 year old child.
Oh, I always thought it was older.
Well, I know Wanda. Our dog Wanda is probably like a 7 year old. But yeah, dogs are about as smart as a 2 or 3 year old child. That's pretty smart. Yeah. Shark corneas are being used in human eye transplants.
Jeez.
I don't think I like that, but yeah, we'll save that for another time. A cheetah lifespan is up to how many years do you think in the wild? A cheetah. How long do you think a cheetah lives in the wild?
Well, they're,
Robert, do you have any idea?
They're fast, so I'd say 12 years.
Hey, you are exactly right.
Really?
12 years. A cheetah's lifespan is up to 12 years in the wild.
Wow. Yeah. One in a row. What do I win?
I don't know. We'll have to see. A duck's quack does echo. It's just almost impossible to hear.
Huh. Is that like when a tree falls in the forest? No, I don't know.
Can you hear a tree fall in the forest if nobody's there? Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
Barn owls hunt mostly small mammals, such as short-haired voles. V-O-L-E. You know what a vole is?
No.
Neither do I. Let's see if I could look it up really quick. Probably some type of a, say like a, what are those animals that go underneath the ground?
Moles?
Is a mole next to a vole?
I don't know.
Oh my God, it's cute. Voles are small rodents that are relatives of lemmings and hamsters.
Wow.
But it's got a shorter body and longer hairy tail and slightly rounder head. Yeah, it looks like a little mouse. Very cute. So that's a vole. Jeez. Yeah. Listen to this, Robert. You'll be happy to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
Cat owners are 30% less likely to suffer a heart attack.
Wow.
Except if your cat is Lucy.
Yeah.
Lucy's
stressing us out.
She is stressing us out.
She's not a mellow cat. She meows and startles us.
She shocks us sometimes. Yeah. Like when you're sound asleep, she comes right into your face. Like her nose touches your nose and she meows really, really loud.
Jeez.
Okay. So here's another cat fact. Cats have over 100 vocal sounds, while dogs only have about 10.
Huh.
Yeah. So they have more vocal sounds. Here we go. Dogs have a wet nose to collect more of the tiny droplets of smelly chemicals in the air.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought it was like a health issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baby whales can gain up to 200 pounds a day.
Whew.
That's crazy. That's like your whole body, Robert.
Yeah.
Plus a couple of extra pounds.
Exactly.
More than 45 million turkeys are cooked and eaten in the U.S. at Thanksgiving.
How many?
Well, I'm 45 million turkeys are cooked and eaten in the U.S. at Thanksgiving. To me, that's a horrible fact because I'm vegan and I don't eat any animals or animal products because I love animals. So to me, you know, if I say I love animals, it's because I love all animals. And if you love something, you don't eat it. So that's.
Well, we haven't had a turkey for Thanksgiving day in probably 15 years, 14 years.
Probably close to that. Yep. And I don't miss it. But here we go. Here's some more fun facts.
We got only time for like one more.
Okay, here we go. Some dogs can smell dead bodies underwater.
Whoa.
So that's good if they're looking for like a corpse or a, you know, somebody's body. So there you go. That's Fun Fact Friday. Everybody have a great weekend and stay safe.
Right on. And you'll be hearing Wendy live next week on her regular scheduled day. You're listening. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you, Wendy. So, hey. If you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard's Health here.
Now.
Hey, John, I heard you're turning 65 this year. Time to start comparing your Medicare insurance options.
I'm so overwhelmed with all the different Medicare companies and plan designs. I don't even know where to be.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1890. In the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
ABC News.